as I want to please Him with everything that I got. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This shout takes on a whole new meaning personally in our lives when we begin to shout before God with a voice of triumph, and we see walls come down in our lives in Jesus' name. Walls that were there once before are there no more. And it was because of a shout. Because I looked at an impossible situation, but I looked at a God who saw there is nothing impossible for Him to do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He is worthy of His praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's take advantage of what we feel right here in this house right now in Jesus' name. Before we go any further, if we could do this in one mind and one accord, can we give God a resounding shout of praise? Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. We cannot see with these eyes what God has already begun to do when we shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Things are already set in motion. Things are going forward. Things are taking place that we cannot see with these eyes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to be sensitive to what I feel right now in the house of the Lord. This morning, but Lord, if you want to interrupt me anytime, that's okay, Lord. We give you as a church body permission to do whatever you want to do in this place for the next few moments in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm going to get right into the message that God laid upon my heart. It wasn't without seeking His face. It wasn't without total reliance upon Him. And I believe every one of us is going to walk out of here differently today than before we came in here. I believe God wants to encourage His people in His church here today. Speak to you about three things that do not take place or do not happen without God. In Proverbs 16:1 says, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. You could be seated at this time. And the first thing I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning is nothing happens without God's permission. God is in charge of everything, and nothing can take place without Him sanctioning it. Life isn't just a series of freak accidents. If you believe that, you may tend to believe towards evolution or the Big Bang Theory versus creation. Everything that happens and His plan is orchestrated by Him. Nothing of us have the ability to manipulate or coerce God to do anything that He does or does not want to do. He permits things to happen, and they have a divine purpose. God has a will, and His will will ultimately prevail, and will prevail in our life if we allow our wills to get out of the way and allow His will to be done in our lives personally. So even when it looks like God's not ruling, He really is. When chaos appears, He's still in charge. When things look like they're falling apart, He has a way of putting things into place. And when we get distracted, may we know this in Romans 8:28. And we know all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. There are multiple examples in Scripture of things being done with God's permission, and things will not be done without His permission. The one of the things that sticks out of my mind is with Job. And it was God Himself who asked Job, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And it's in Job chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. It says, "Hast thou made an hedge about his house and about all the that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." We all know what happens to Job. Job just didn't lose every valuable possession that he ever owned in his life. But he lost something way more precious. He lost his sons and his daughters with one blow. They were wiped out. His whole family was gone. It's one thing to have your possessions gone. That could be replaced. That's just material. But to have something so precious, to have his children gone with one blow on top of it, is something that is indescribable and unimaginable. This was amazing. When all this happened, it says in verse 20, he didn't turn away from God, but he pressed towards God in this time when things looked like they were chaotic. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. What would you have to happen to your life personally if you say to God, "I'm not going to worship you today because things just aren't going right in my life right now"? I had a bad week. That person rubbed me the wrong way. That phone call got underneath my skin. I did not like the way that person talked to me or even looked at me. I'm suffering right now, God. My body isn't what it used to be. I'm hurting, Lord. You understand, don't you? My heart hurts. Isn't coming here enough? It was Satan who asked this permission to sift each one of his disciples like wheat. There are things that Satan will approach God and ask things about you and your life to do something similar. I want to sift them like wheat. I want to destroy their life. But God does this. He goes, "I have pleaded in prayer for you." Peter was totally unaware what Satan had asked Jesus for. It's the things that we don't see that he does that we need to thank God for. We're totally unaware of that accident, that thing that was diverted in our life, that thing where God was the intercessor. He stood in the gap for us, and we are here today. And if it wasn't for him, where would I be? So there is no way that I'm not going to not give an offering and let an opportunity go by for me to give God praise, no matter what circumstance, no matter what comes my way, no matter what pain or what suffering, no matter what comes or what goes, no matter what I have or what I don't have, he is worthy to be praised today in Jesus' name. He has done nothing that deserves for me to not give him praise. Hallelujah. It was the demons who asked permission to be sent into the herd of pigs. On the other hand, we need to learn to ask God for things, to ask him for anything. Or if he's placed a desire personally in your life to do something, God says, "Ask me anything." And he has authority to do it. He has authority to grant it. If he granted things to happen with the legion of demons and that individual that went into the pigs and the demons asked, "Just please, Lord, let us go into these pigs," how much more will he grant us things if we ask him? It's all about asking. He's the God, and nothing's going to happen without his permission. So we need to take a lesson out of the enemy's playbook and say, "Hey, God, I need to come to you more, and I need to ask you for things. I need to ask you for big things." And may we ask God forgiveness today for limiting God to only asking for things that we think that he could handle. Because he could do way much more than we ask him to do. Far exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And God, forgive me for limiting you. Lord, take the limits off of me. Take the limits off of my heart and my mind. Take the limits off of this church and what we allow you to do. And I felt like there was a pressing. There really was something to start to break through. But I think this is just the beginning of what God has something just on the other side of this that we're totally unaware of. And I'm not content to stay where we are right here today, but I'm going to press forward. I'm going to press forward because there's something around the corner that he has that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no eye entered to the heart of man. He has something great and something special for every one of us. And I want to say individually in your life, he's got something special individually for you, but he has something great and tremendous for this whole church as a body in Jesus' name. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. John 14 in the New Living Translation says, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me anything in my name, and I will do it. I need to learn to ask God for more things, bigger things. What is a church body, Lord? It almost to where our human mindset, our human intellect would almost sound foolish. God, in one day, can you quadruple the size of this church body? The church was nothing to the 3,000 in one day. How hard is it for him to do what he did before on the day of Pentecost to do and sandwich here today? The latter rain is going to be greater than the former rain. If you thought that was big, God's saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. I have so much bigger plan for you. Whether your mind can conceive it, whether you can wrap it around your head, I'm still going to do it. Going back, nothing and nobody in authority or ruler of any country can carry out any decision or policy unless God gives them permission to do so. One translation in Proverbs 16:1, it says, mortals make elaborate plans, but God has the last word. Nothing ever just happens, and nothing is caused by someone or something outside of God's control. The second thing I want to talk about is nothing happens without God's approval. Even when it may look right or even make sense to us, if it's not God approved, it's not going to happen. Samuel experienced in himself when God told him to go to Jesse's house and anoint the next king of Israel. In Samuel 6:6, it says, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked at Eliab, big brother, David's big brother, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Definitely it makes sense to me, Samuel, God's mouthpiece, the one that spends a lot of time with God personally. Samuel thought, he's the oldest. I could see it. He's the tallest. And he could totally fit this role. He just has that look. No, Samuel, it's not God approved. Verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For a man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Samuel asked, are these all the sons that you have, Jesse? I got one more, but just somebody not really much of importance. His own son? It's just kind of hard to wrap my mind around that, being a parent, man. I value and treasure every child I have. And just say, well, here's all my kids, but he's the youngest. He's out. He's doing his thing. And Sam's like, go get him. Because everybody here is not God approved. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. God made the seasons of nature, and he makes the seasons and times in our lives as well. Just like we are in the season of summer right now, and after that comes the season of fall, there come personal things and seasons on our life that we don't see coming. God is in control of every season in our personal life. He is in control of the season of this church as a whole. God does not change. He still does not lack in authority at all. Thirdly, nothing happens without God's plan. David himself learned this when he wanted to build a house for the Lord. 2 Samuel 7:4-7 says this, and it came to pass at night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in, wherein as I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but I have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places where I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I the word with any of the tribes of Israel, saying, why build ye not me a house of cedar? But God's plan and his plan they weren't on the same page. But you know what? If I'm not on the same page with God, it doesn't, it's going to be of no good for me. And nothing's going to change because God's not going to change. I have to change. I have to change and line up my will according to his will. He has a plan and he has a purpose. He has all authority to do whatever he wants to do, how he wants to do it. Verse 12 says, "And when the days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." I'm sure David personally was hopeful that he would be the one to do it. And I believe that he remained hopeful to do this himself until he heard a word from the Lord and says, "You know what? I have another plan for somebody else to build the house of the Lord." And who's to question God about his plan? I just want to be lined up with his plan and his will. I want to be in position for him to do what he wants to do. He's going to do it anyways. He's going to do it whether he has to push me out of the way to do it. He's going to get his will done according to his plan. I have a poem that I wanted to read. It says, "Things don't just happen to children of God. They're part of a wonderful plan. The troubles, the reverses, the sorrows, the rod are strokes of the great sculptor's hand. Things just don't happen to children of God. The blueprint was made by his hand. He designed all the details to conform to his son so that all things that happen are planned." The Lord gave me the ending of this service before he gave me anything else. And I'm going to ask at this time if the Wells family could come forward and stand together and at the front here. And not face you guys, but face the front. And in a moment, I'm going to ask everybody to stand. Brother Wells shared his heart with me this past week with brokenness, saying that he wanted to leave this church in a better place than it was before he came here. And I asked Brother Wallace to put some pictures on the screen. That happened within the first month. That's huge. Not only was that remodeled, but there was leaking that came from the foundation of the church that kept flooding the basement. And Brother Wells found something to keep that from leaking. And to this day, with all the rain that we've had this year, there's not one drop that came into Sister Robin's classroom. Another thing, there's a sound system that we've had implemented. I know Brother Wells has had a lot to do with it, but Brother Wells has been very instrumental in that. And the kitchen, I got thinking about the black special you put in and the new ceiling and the lighting in there. That was all because that was his vision for that as well. I'm going to ask us to stand as a church. They didn't just come and make a physical building a better place, but the church is so much more than a physical building. Ryan, can you put that picture up? And I saw this a few weeks ago on social media. And as we appreciate everything that's been done here in the last few years in this church, I am personally better as a person than before they came. And I want to ask you as a church body if we could come and gather around the altar And I want us to pray for the Wells family. And they came almost 7 years ago by faith, leaving their family, leaving everything they knew to come here to minister to this church, to these people. And by faith, they're going to head back in that direction, not knowing what's in store for them, what's going to be around the corner for them. But they're going to do it in faith. So I want to ask everyone to come up and gather around. I wanted to do two things. First, we're going to pray for the Wells family. But I also want us to pray for each other. We are a part of the body of Christ, and that has no logistical barriers. Because we all have the same DNA. So if we could take a moment, we're going to pray over them. But I don't want nobody to go anywhere until they grab a hand or grab their arm around somebody and just pray for God's direction in our lives individually, for our direction, for what God has in store for this church for the next few weeks and months in this next year, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Brother Gregor. Thank you, church family. It's been emotional the last couple weeks. A lot of tears. We know God is faithful. Just many of you may not have been here Wednesday night, so I will post the letter of resignation that I read on Wednesday night to the church so that you can hear the words that were read. But I want you to know this. I want you to know that we are not just going to abandon you. Though as pastor of the church, our last Sunday will be next Sunday. As pastor, we are not going to then disappear. We are going to be here to help the board in transition. So I just want to be clear that we're not just going to go away, okay? Obviously, there's a transition time. There's a period of time where we're going to need to sell our home here and you know, buy where we eventually land in Florida. We don't have all the answers to those questions yet, but that's okay. That's all right. We have every faith and confidence. I'll just give you a real quick testimony. One of the things that obviously I prayed and asked God, you know, God, if this is your will and I truly feel that it is, or I wouldn't be doing this, you know, as far as providing for my family, being a husband and a father and being able to provide for them. On Wednesday night, I read my letter of resignation. Thursday morning, I get an email that they want to restructure my contract. I didn't know what that meant. Obviously, I was a little fearful. God, what does this mean? Does this mean I knew the company was looking at different directions, so I didn't know if that I was going to be out of secular employment as well. And then on Friday, my boss that I'm directly under, at the end of a conversation about a project, he said, "Do you have a couple personal minutes?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I do." In short, he said, "We haven't been paying you as much as we should." And on Friday, 2 days after I submitted my resignation, they gave me a substantial increase in my base salary. I don't say that to make you feel bad. I say that to you understand that this is a God thing. And I know that at first it's going to hurt. And I know there's some of you that are hurting. We're hurting. It's a major decision. And I get that. But we serve a major God. And He is able. Thank you, Brother Kreger, for such timely words. We are going to be here. We're going to help that transition to happen. We love you, and we want what's best for you. We truly, truly believe that. One thing in the sense of announcement, tonight we will be gathering together to work on the float and getting preparation for the big weekend. We have the parade on Saturday and then the party Saturday evening at the Davises. And we want these remaining moments that we have with you, we want to make the most of them. We want to get together. We want to share. We want to laugh. We want to cry. We want to have all those things. When we finally have to make that move and the final departation happens, we want to do so in the absolute best environment that we can do that. And I hope you know that, and I hope you feel that. But then also on Wednesday night, we just have so much going on, and I asked the board. I told them, I said, you know, once I submit my letter of resignation, it's my desire that I do not get back in the bullpen. I know me, and I know if I get back behind here, I'm not going to be able to do it without putting on the pastor hat, and that's not fair to you people. And so we are going to endeavor. I'm already working with Brother Brosom, our sectional presbyter, lining things up. I am happy to say that next Sunday, very dear friends of ours and dear people of this church, Paul and Sherry Volin, are going to be in service with us, and he's going to be ministering next week, so I'm looking forward to that. But tonight, let's gather together here at the church, and we're going to get together and start decorating things, getting ready for the float and for the weekend. And then on Wednesday night, Brother Wallace, do you have that slide that you can show, put up there real quick? On Wednesday night, we are going to meet at the garage. We're going to have the trailer in the garage so we can work on it regardless of the weather. The garage is at the Sandwich Auto Center, but we need you to park at the First National Bank because there's not parking around there, and we don't want to park in the Walgreens parking lot. But the bank will be closed at that time, so we can park at the bank and then just walk, you know, across the street, diagonally across the street, over to the Sandwich Auto Center. That's where we're going to have the trailer. That's where we're going to be putting everything on the trailer. So all the decorating, coloring, painting, all that we hope to get done tonight. And then on Wednesday, we're going to put everything on the trailer and do the final touches and have it ready to go on Saturday morning. So we need your help. We need you to come and be a part of that. And let's fellowship together, have great times together. And like I said, we are committed to helping this church and through the process. Obviously, there will become a point in time where my family, in regards to schooling and housing and all that other stuff, where we'll have to say that final goodbye. But in between now and then, we're just going to love on each other and enjoy one another and make the most of every moment we have between now and then. Is that all right? We love you. Can we pray, Lord Jesus? We're so grateful that we have you. We're so grateful that you are in control, God. And though we often don't know the future, we know you hold it. And we know that your plans are perfect and your will always work out, God. I'm so thankful for the way you've already worked, God. The evidence you've already shown, God, a response to my faith, God, and my following in accordance with your will. God, continue to work, continue to open doors, God, not only for us as a family, but for this church as a body of believers, God, that they would spring from here into greater things that you have in store for them. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, your love and your truth, for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. Tonight, here, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, Sandwich Auto Center, 7 o'clock. Come help us bring, don't wear your nice stuff, wear your dirty stuff. So, because you're going to get paint and probably sweat and all that other stuff. But let's just have a good time together as we prepare for a great weekend. And I don't know if you know this or not, but this coming weekend will be almost 7 years to the day that my family made our first visit here to this church. We love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.